Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. A very happy new year to all of you, and welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen talk radio show. My guest for this morning is number one best-selling author, Jackie Lapin. Her latest book is titled Practical Conscious Creation, How to Use Daily Techniques to Manifest Your Desire. Jackie is here to teach us how to live our best life in 2012. Good morning, Jackie. Happy New Year to you, and welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
I'm great, Johnny. Thank you for inviting me to be here. I'm delighted to participate.
It is my pleasure. Practical Conscious Creation is a very interesting book. It makes a great New Year's gift. Congratulations.
Thank you. I think it helps people get off to the right start at the beginning of the year. They
Definitely.
Can begin to practically conscious create the life they're choosing.
Fantastic. Let us start by getting to know you a little better. Please give us a walkthrough of your life from childhood to the present moment.
Well, actually, I became a conscious creator at the age of 11 when I told my parents that I wanted to be a sports writer when there were no female sports writers. I envisioned myself working in press boxes and talking to players and writing stories and being on the front pages of newspapers. And at 19, I was at the Detroit Free Press. At 20, I was at the Associated Press and on the front pages of the LA Times. And at 22, I was at the Washington Post. So I really envisioned that and made it come true, even though I didn't understand the mechanism behind it at the time. I went from there to become a very successful editor and writer, sports writer at University of Southern California, and I won the Baseball Writer Scholarship in 1972, which brought me national attention. And I got on national television and really was featured in many places. And so from there, I really decided to go into the media relations side of the business, and I ended up starting and owning my own APR agency. It was bi-coastal, and in fact, it became one of the largest special events entertainment PR agencies in the country at that particular time. And I had wonderful clients. I launched the first four LA marathons. I launched the Golf Channel. I did the 75th anniversary of the National Hockey League. I did Upper Deck trading cards, all kinds of very cool and wonderful things. And in the last few years, the things that you would most likely have known me for is that I've launched the worldwide poker phenomenon with the mm-hmm. World Poker Tour.
Mm-hmm.
And so about 5 years ago, as I was doing that, I also realized that I really wanted to be a little bit happier in my life, and I couldn't figure out what the keys were. So I began to read a lot of spiritual books, great leaders in the spiritual movement. And when I did, I realized that there was an important element that seemed to be a theme, but nobody actually addressed it. And that was how we use our personal energy to influence our future. And keep in mind, this was before The Secret came out.
Mm-hmm.
And so out of that came my very first book, The Art of Conscious Creation, and a book on how you can begin to consciously create your life rather than letting life happen to you. Many people said the book was life-changing, and it was very exciting. And so mm-hmm. I launched that book. And then in the process of doing that, I began to realize that what people were learning was that, okay, I can now create an intention, set a vision, and start to create my life. But they would remember to do that once in a while, mm-hmm. once a month maybe. But the truth of the matter is, if you want to really manifest a life that is really fulfilling, you have to make this a lifestyle. You have to do this every day. And out of that came Practical Conscious Creation, Daily Techniques to Manifest Your Dreams, which in fact allows you to become to really anchor Law of Attraction and Conscious Creation into your daily life so that you become a better, faster manifester day by day. And that's really how we get up to where we are now.
Fantastic. You started at 11 years old. What makes you different from, say, your siblings and friends? I mean, at 11, you're talking about you're already focused on the things that you wanted to get done. Do you consider yourself as being, I guess, a gifted child in some ways within your own self?
Well, I always knew I was quite a bit different.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the things that set me apart from others is that I was entirely driven by the what I felt and my guidance and my intuition and the direction that, you know, that I was being pulled in, instead of what the outside world said. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't important to me about what other people did. What it was really important to me was what I wanted to do, what was in my heart. So I started following my heart earlier than a lot of other people who were still just sort of forming their life direction. You know, it took them many, many years. But for me, it was always very clear that that I had to follow a path of my own, and that came from somewhere other than just me, from some source. So I think that's what really, my connection to source was very, very open,
yeah,
right from the childhood.
Very interesting. Sounds like you've always lived your life in the present moment.
I would say that I do that better today than I used to do that. you know, that's somewhat,
yeah,
of my challenges too, like many of us. But it,
yeah,
is one that I now recognize, and I know that that is really truthful, the more satisfying way to live life. And what it does is it changes, it puts you in a high frequency situation, which is what we'll talk about.
Wonderful. Well, let's get into your book. I think one of the most important thing is that the book is beautifully written, because you gave a step by step on things that we need to do on a day to day basis. But let's talk about what is the first thing that we must do in preparing ourselves to live that kind of a lifestyle, since you mentioned it is a lifestyle.
It is, but let's understand how this works, because this is really the key to it. What you have to understand is that we are all energy. Our bodies are energy that you can see, but our minds, our thoughts and our emotions are energy too. And they go out into the world and they do one of two things. They either affect things in a domino-like impact, or they attract things back to us, like energy attracts like energy. And that's what law of attraction is all about. And when we are vibrating those frequencies out into the world, we're vibrating in a range of frequency to high to low. And in the low frequency ranges, we are putting out fear and anxiety and worry and disappointment and anger, you know, all kinds of negative emotions. And we are unconsciously creating our lives, because what we put out into the world is what we draw back into our lives. And our experiences then become very difficult. That's when life is difficult. That's when we're having money struggles. That's when we're challenged, you know, emotionally, you know, in our relationships, etc.
Mm-hmm.
I call that driving the car with the brakes on. Now, if you're vibrating in the high range, this is love and compassion and joy and peace and wonder and trust in the universe. And when you're vibrating at that, in those frequencies, you're vibrating at the same level of love and the same level of the universe. The universe vibrates at the highest level, this level of love. And when you're vibrating there, then the universe is actually carrying you along. That is when you see synchronicities happen, doors open. It feels like there's a wind in your sails, or you're being drafted by a race car. Life gets easy. Things fall right into place, and you begin to really be a magnet for wonderful things. And here's really the key. When you are consciously creating in this frequency vibration, then things begin to happen much faster. The universe, you know, it's like all of a sudden what you think almost shows up almost immediately. And it's very Pavlovian, because when you experience it, you think, oh, this is so cool. I want to do more of this.
Mm-hmm.
So, and one of the reasons that people who might have tried this when they saw things, you know, on The Secret, mm-hmm, and they tried visualization and it did not work, one of the reasons is because they were still, even though they may have held this high-frequency vision of where they wanted to go, they were still vibrating low frequencies at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fear, you know, that it's not going to happen, that, you know, being stuck in the past, you know, the feeling that, you know, that this must happen to get you out of trouble, you know, you want it so desperately, any of the fear, anger, any of those negative things that you're vibrating is going to countermand what the universe is getting from you. So you're not going to be able to manifest. What you have to do is raise your personal frequency. Choose to be thinking and feeling positive emotions. And then when you have that matching positive feeling, that's when the universe can help materialize what it is that you want. It's consistent. So really, what our choice is here is we either vibrate in the low range or we vibrate in the high range, and we can choose to shift our thoughts and our emotions into a positive framework. And that's really what this book is all about. It gives you all of the tools, little step-by-step articles. There's 70 individual little articles here, and then 70 mm-hmm. individual little tips that helps you raise your personal frequency so that you are, in fact, manifesting much more fast because you are actually living a high-frequency life. My first book, The Art of Conscious Creation, actually has 25 guiding universal principles on how to raise your personal frequency, as well as the day-to-day stuff that's in Practical Conscious Creation. Both of these are vital tools to get you into that high-frequency state so that you can, in fact, manifest what you choose.
Fantastic. One of the things you brought up was fear. I think that is the biggest anchor that's holding everybody back. So let's talk a little bit about that, because I visualize it from a standpoint of the universe being the mother, and we keep on nagging, making sure that we get what we want. And in the end, we actually aggravate the universe in some ways.
Well, it's not, from my standpoint, it's not aggravating so much as you're choking off the energy.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be in flow, and being in flow means being in faith that everything's going to work out just fine,
mm-hmm.
and that you're going to be guided to the direction that's going to help you. The universe, far from what most people think, that the universe is out to get them, the truth of the matter is the universe conspires on your behalf. And when you, in fact, are in flow, or moving in a positive direction, or living a high-frequency life, then everything falls into place. So you don't have to sit there and be fearful. It will all work out if you, in fact, don't choke off the energy and actually push away the positive energy that's coming at you. Because, you know, it is the fear that actually ejects
mm-hmm.
it away from you. So you mm-hmm. want to. But there's an article in the book that's called Fear, the Siren Call to Change.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about how the different ways are to deal with your fear. The first one is the flip side of fear is faith, being in a state of faith, is what we've just been talking about. Trust
mm-hmm.
the universe is looking out for you. Another is, a lot of times I like to affirm, I am fearless, and release that fear through the balls of my feet into the earth. Bringing this fear out into the light, looking at it objectively as if there was no emotion. If you take out the emotion, okay, now let me look at the situation. If I didn't have an emotional attachment about it, is it really as bad as I think? What's the best thing that could happen? What's the worst thing that can happen? And it's almost inevitably never as bad as you really think it can be.
Very true.
We just mm-hmm. build ourselves up into it. But there are 12 different ways to look at fear and how you can actually either overcome that fear, release that fear, or move forward through that fear in this chapter on the fear, the Siren Call to Change.
And what I like about it is that you do talk about the law of detachment, and this is the kind of thing where we have fear of letting, it's the fear of letting go that's working backwards rather than forward, working against us rather than working in our favor in this case.
Well, you know, in detachment, that's, you know, when you go to create what it is that you manifest,
mm-hmm.
what you were talking about is, you know, trying to do it over and over and over and over again.
Right.
You're demonstrating to the universe that you don't have any faith, and mm-hmm. you're basically, you know, putting yourself in a position of negating what it is that you want. So detaching is the art of just creating what it is that you want, your vision, your intention, and then letting it go. Assume it's a done deal. And one of my girlfriends has this wonderful phrase that she uses that I just love. Her name is Anissa Avon. And she said, God, this is your job and your responsibility and not mine. Therefore, I'm handing it over to you. I will relax and listen for your divine guidance. I will prepare to receive my good and know that this is handled. I will remember that my only responsibility is to be aware of the divine presence within as the only source and supply for all my good. I accept that as the divine child of God, it is truly impossible for me to have any wants, needs, or unfulfilled desires Therefore, God, I thank you for taking care of this for me. It is done.
Very interesting.
And then I suggest occupying yourself with other self-nurturing tasks. One of my favorite techniques to get your mind off of, you know, obsessing about, you know, things is to go serve others. You know, this is a surefire way to refocus yourself onto positive high-frequency energy rather than on trying to force through what is your intention. And then there's some other kinds of fun things. There's a ceremonial send-off for your wish that you could do, you know, writing it in a message in a bottle and send it off, or sending it off with a white dove, or burning a candle to pay tribute to it, you know, just kind of all kinds of fun things. So there are lots of ways to create detachment so that you don't really find yourself too deeply involved in wanting to make it happen.
One of the things you mentioned in your book is the use of music and as well as the use of water in overcoming a lot of things that you go through. And, of course, you use water. That's one of the tips that you included in your book when we talk about what we want to become. And that's pretty interesting because it's a form of declaration and so forth. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, water carries energy, positive energy for you. And, for example, I get my most powerful ideas when I'm in water, either in a shower or immersed in a pool. I just find that this is a very conducive way to really open yourself up to new ideas and openness. But what I must become is an important, it's one of the articles in here, and it's an important means to transform yourself, you know, to look at what it is, you know, right now you look at yourself and you figure out all the things that are wrong with you and how you're not where you want to be, et cetera, et cetera. Instead, if you would sit down to create a list of what it is I must become to be the person that I want to be, and you then can sit down and use this various different techniques to pull out of yourself who it is and what it is that you want to be, because once you start putting it on paper, it becomes very, very clear that this is the direction that you want to intentionally go. You're making this statement to the universe, and you can then begin to really allow that to sink in, and you can become who it is that you want to become. So, and I think that this is a very, very important tool to really help one's personal growth, to create the person that you want to be.
Very, very interesting. When you mention about water, I mean, I agree with you because now you clarify it a little bit better for me in your book about morning rituals and so forth. And after meditating, and of course I'll take the morning shower and so forth, and I take an extra long shower because for some reason that's when the ideas comes into my mind.
Exactly. And a lot of people, for example, they experience it at the beach, or sitting amongst waterfalls. I actually have five waterfalls in my backyard, and of which several of them go in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And when I sit out there and those waterfalls are going, it just opens me up.
Let's talk about some of the rituals that we must do to create a conscious living.
Well, you know, there's a couple of different things. And one is I have this whole section here on morning rituals and how you can get going in your day. And one of my favorite is to consciously create your day first thing in the morning, where you actually hold a vision of the day that you want to experience. And instead of going into that fear of, oh, my God, I've been having trouble with this guy, I know he's going to stab me in the back, or my boss really hates me, or something like that, you envision this beautiful day going exactly as you would like it to go. And when you encounter people that you have had difficulty with, you throw your pink love net over them. You just expand your love over and around them, and you see the two of you getting along and having a fantastic day, and him patting you on the back and saying, oh, great job, I love working with you, do more of this work, you know, we're so proud of you. And and one of the things is that I cannot tell you that your day will turn out exactly as you can envision, but I can guarantee it's going to turn out a whole lot better than if you don't do this. because you are actually starting your, you know, to set this high frequency tone for the day and be optimistic. But some of the other morning rituals, I like to do one where I envision certain kinds of light coming down for me. You know, golden light is this beautiful light of the divine source. Pink light is love. Peach light is joy. Green light is health. There are numerous ways in this book that you can create a morning ritual that will, in fact, allow you to start your day in a very, very positive way that really sets the tone for the day. And some of those things, you know, you can meditate. You can do some form of meditative exercise like Tai Chi or yoga. There are wonderful ways that you can, I'm looking at some of these. You can ground yourself. You can express gratitude. You can clear your chakras. You can use affirmations. You can ask questions. You can burn candles or incense. These are all different kinds of things that you can do. You can journal in the morning. You can sing or chant. They're all different kinds of things that you can do in your morning rituals. And what you want to do is a mix and match. You want to take the things that are particularly appropriate to your life and really, you know, create something that resonates for you. And so, you know, what I've done is given you a whole bunch of ideas that you can look and say, oh, I like that one. That works for me. And then adapt it into your life.
That's correct. One of the things also, you have to be very clear of your intentions, don't you?
Right. And clarity is a very, very important aspect of this. This actually is a section in the book just on clarity. Because the reason that clarity is so important is that if you aren't clear, the universe can't deliver what it is that you want. If you're at all ambiguous, then the universe can't figure out how to get you there. It can't respond. It's got to have real concrete concepts in order to work. There's a couple of articles in here. One of my favorite is to ask, you know, what would I miss if I died today? You know, if you don't know what it is you want in your life, think back about what you would miss if you died today. If you thought, you would think, I wanted to have done that, or I would have wanted to buy this, or I wanted to have experienced that. And if you are thinking those kinds of things from your deathbed and say, I didn't do those things, then they need to be on your, as what they call, a bucket list. You need to start mm-hmm. seeing them now. And so that will help you get clarity. But there's also, you know, there's a whole series of other ways that you can get clarity. So you want to get clear now on what it is that you want so that you can live it in this life.
And one of the things you talk about, which is very, very important, I think, is the art of receiving.
Right.
Because we all have a problem in receiving. Well, not all of us, but majority of us tend to, I know for me, myself personally, I love to give, but when I receive, I get sort of uncomfortable about that.
Well, and the truth is that many of us, you know, we're taught to deflect people. For example, when they say, oh, let me help you with that. You say, oh, no, I can do that. And then you feel overburdened and a martyr. And the truth of the matter is we need to let other people help us. We need to accept help from others. We need to graciously receive what it is that they give to us, and we have to set the tone for receiving. One of the things that I like to do is to actually tell the universe, you know, today I am willing to receive, I am happy to receive, I am a magnet to receive. And in doing that, I find that I open myself up to receiving because I'm a doer, you know, like you. I want to go out and I want to do. But I'm not that good of a beer, and I have to be more in so that I can be in the receptive mood so that good things can come forward to me. You know, not everything has to be, you know, reached out to achieve. It is often better to sit back and allow things to come to you. And, of course, you know, the Asian culture has been, you know, really a leader in that, and whereas we in the West need to learn more how to do that.
the other thing you talk about, which I think which is coming to full circle, which is interesting, is that you took risk as a gift. And that was
right.
interesting because you can't take a leap of faith because you're fearful. But now at the same time, you have to take risk. And then if you assume risk as a gift to you in return to motivate you to move forward, that's interesting.
Well, the thing is that risk is a growth opportunity. If we do not risk, we do not grow. If you are going to stay right where you are never going to expand. And if you're miserable in your life, then that's where you're going to stay. If, in fact, you are willing to stretch yourself and to take that risk and to step forward into the unknown, then, in fact, that helps you grow and grow in confidence, grow in opportunity, grow in your soul, in your connection with the universe. That's really the gift of risk. But what this article does is it gives you, 10 different ways that you can determine what is the right gift to move forward to, how to move into that. Because, rather than indulge in the fear, this says, okay, look at risk from a reality standpoint of what are the times and the places that it is best to take that risk. And so we talk about, determining when the calculated risk adds up, mm-hmm. When the only thing holding you back is fear. You would do it except that you're afraid.
Mm-hmm.
When you have the capital to invest, and that's not just money capital, that's time and effort and emotional capability. Where you're going could be better than where you've been or where you currently are. When your intuition, instinct, or internal voice urges you forward. When it feels right. When your passion is engaged. When all the synchronicities are lining up in your favor and you're just saying, but the universe is already pointing you in the right direction. And then how to basically take that risk and when is the best time to do that. So, I think it's a very, very powerful recipe for moving forward.
Very true. And the other thing you also talk about is celebrating what we have achieved. I think that's another thing that we all tend to have a problem because we always either think about yesterday or we're always thinking about tomorrow and never paying attention in the present moment and, of course, the things that we already accomplished. And you talk about ways of celebrating yourself and your achievements because that in itself is a positive energy that you mentioned earlier about creating more good things to come into your life. Let's talk about that a little bit.
So much of the time, Johnny, people simply they achieve something wonderful, but they're not in that moment to appreciate it. They're already looking ahead to the next
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're saying, well, but I only did this and I have to still do that. Or they've had an experience where their family has put them down and told them they're worthless, and so even any amount of achievement is viewed through the lens of I'm not good enough. So the truth of the matter is we have to stop and really appreciate what we've accomplished and to drink it in and celebrate it and appreciate it and not just to be thankful to and grateful to everything and how you got there, but to be grateful for yourself
mm-hmm.
and all the skills you have and all the love that you have in order to brought you to this place and what it is that you have done that is significant. So there are some suggestions in the book on how to celebrate your own achievements so that they don't pass by and are not marked, and so that you don't get the joy, the real richness out of life. You're not experiencing the fun of what it is that you're accomplishing in this life. And so really it's so important for you to actually stand back and say, wow, look what I just did. And live in that luscious energy for a while.
Very true. So what else can we do besides, we talk about morning rituals, we talk about programming ourselves to appreciate the things that we have accomplished and not forgetting that because that's another energy that, that helps us. What else can we do in terms of getting ourselves into this living consciously and creating the vision that we want?
Well, there are seven steps to consciously creating your life, and that's really the essence of where we're going here. And the first one is to accept that you're responsible for your own life and begin taking change. When you realize that what energy you put out will produce specific experiences that you will then be attracting into your life, you realize that you're responsible for everything that you experience. So, in fact, when you get to that point and you begin recognizing and taking charge of your life because you now know that what you think is what you create, that is a very, very important first step. The second step is to assess your current frequency and vibrational level and recognize how you lower your frequency as you go about your daily life. And many of us have what we call negative energy habits. That might be obsessing about things, it might be living in the past, it might be worrying, about money or whatever it might be. It might be putting yourself down. Any of these negative energy habits, if you begin to check in on what you're thinking at any given time, and a fun way to do that is to set your cell phone to ring every hour and think, what am I thinking at that point? You're going to see how much negative obsessive thinking goes on there. When you do, you begin to recognize your negative energy patterns that, in fact, you are capable of changing. So you really need to recognize how you lower your frequency is the second step. Then the third one is to begin the process of personal frequency management, taking the steps to raise your frequency. How you, in fact, begin to switch your thoughts to a more positive framework. Change your emotions so that they are more powerfully positive in your direction. As I talked about, my first book has the Art of Conscious Creation has 25 guiding universal principles on how to do this. But there are also some really simple things. You know, sometimes it's not a matter of of habitual. Sometimes it's coming into a bad day. And I know that when I come into my office with a ball of anxiety in my stomach, that's the day my computer goes out. There is no accident about that, because our energy affects everything around us. And so, I know now that if I'm having a bad day, if I do not do something about it right then, the next day is not going to be any fun. So there are some really quick, fun things that you could do to switch your energy instantaneously. You know, you everybody's had one of those days where the you spill coffee on yourself the first thing in the morning, or the boss starts to chew you out, and you just down spiral. So in order to prevent that spiral from going any further, for me personally, I have 280 beautiful roses on my property, so I literally go out and smell the roses. But there are things that you can do. You can go out and exercise. You can go out in nature. You can play with your animals. You can play with your kids. You can call up somebody and tell them you love them. You can play music or listen to music. You can meditate. You can imagine a beautiful place where you have been and, re-evoke that experience. Anything that brings you joy and pleasure and peace will, in fact, shift the energy instantly. So go do whatever that is.
Wonderful.
So that's step three. Mm-hmm. So step four is clarity, and we've talked about. This is where you want to decide what you would like to experience in your life with clarity, set your intentions, and this is consciously creating your future. Then the next step is commence the visualization process. Now, many people have seen this, and heard about this, but there's a couple of key things. First of all, you have to create your vision as if you were experiencing it this very moment, as if it was happening to you. Now, when you hold that vision, you also have to experience the emotions, the joy, the peace, the wonder, the thrill, the love, whatever it is that you would be experiencing. And the reason is you want to match the frequency to what it is you want to experience. So there's a chapter in the book called Frequency Matching, and it's very important that we raise our frequency to what it is that we want to experience, because that's going to attract it into our lives. So that's critical. The next thing is, number six, is becoming an actionary. You have to get off the couch. Once you begin to create this vision, now you have to move forward some way to begin to make it happen. And And there's an article in the book also called Commitment that talks mm-hmm. about what happens when you make the commitment. As I said before, the universe actually conspires on your behalf. And when you take the first step, the universe is going to line up the next things. It's going to guide you, open the door, point you in the right direction. There's an analogy in the book that you've probably seen in a lot of movies. There's the big Indiana Jones character. He's being chased by the bad guy. He gets to this giant chasm. And there's no bridge over the chasm, and he's trying to figure out, how the heck am I going to get over there? And some little wizened creature goes, you know, like a Yoda-like creature goes, take the first step. And so when he takes that first step, the first step of the bridge appears, and then the next, and then the next, and then the next. This is stepping out in faith. And if you start stepping out in faith, then, in fact, you will be guided to, on the path. Toward, you know, whatever is in your highest good. So that is the sixth, and the seventh is to incorporate practical conscious creation techniques like we've been talking about into every aspect of your life. So those are the seven steps to consciously creating your life.
Wonderful. And doing this, you have to do it in the state of mind of happiness and peace and with compassion and love, because you can't drive this energy forward, this positive energy, if there's always some thought about fear in your mind, and if you let that overpower you, then you can't accomplish anything. Because one of the things I like to tell people is that when you allow your love to exceed your fear, you experience harmony in everything you do. And I like the way you cover happiness and peace and compassion and love in your book.
Well, let me just say something more about fear. Mm-hmm. If you are in a state of fear, then you will attract into your life more to be fearful of.
Very
understand
true.
That whatever it is that you're vibrating will attract in something to validate what it is you're experiencing. So instead, if you would rather have experienced happiness and peace and compassion and love, then in fact you have to, this is again frequency matching, this is what you have to vibrate into the world, because this will attract more of it into your life. And even if you are not feeling all of that right now, if you act as if, then more will come forward.
Very true. Well, it's not far away. Valentine's Day is coming up next month. So let's talk about what are the 10 steps that can someone do to attract love into their life.
Let's see. Okay. Bear with me, Johnny. I got to go to that spot in the book. Okay. Well, you know, the first thing is we got to attract we have to raise our personal frequency. Like we said, we need to put mm-hmm. ourselves into a state of optimism and faith release our resentment to past lovers, any sense of desperation, self-centeredness. You know, these are all things we have to let go of so that we can raise our personal frequency to be in that state. And then again, you know, we want to, what we talked about, you have to want to be love to attract love. So you want to, in fact, vibrate unconditional love so that, in fact, you are a vessel for it to come forward.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta love yourself. That's a really, really important one. It's vital that, in fact, if you do not love yourself, it is very difficult to create a truly loving relationship with someone else. And so you need to, you know, if you're not at that place, then you need, that is an area of special focus for you to grow into more, you know, more powerful state of love. And then we talked about consciously creating love. There's a wonderful visualization that I do in the book that's called Travels with My Beloved. That is a great way to begin creating the visualization of the love relationship that you want, traveling all over the world with that person. You want to be very specific about what it is that you want in a mate or a partner, so that the universe can sort of can feel your order. And then you kind of have to make space in your life for a lover. You know, if you're too busy, if you don't have, the kinds of space in your life, or if you're seeing somebody else that is not in your highest good, you have to clear that space for the next person to come forward. The universe will fill the vacuum but it cannot do that if there's already something in that place. We talk about using affirmations and raising your antenna for love, being out in the world, not isolating yourself, so that you can basically be connecting. And that may involve, you know, online. It might be physically, but you know, you have to be out there. This is part of that that we were talking about being an actionary. You got to take steps to make yourself available. So those are just some of the steps on how to attract love.
Very interesting. And I have to bring that up because Valentine's Day is just around the corner.
Right.
So I have to talk about that. In your book,
yes,
you also talk about having a dialogue between you and your money. That's very interesting because this is the new year, and because of the economy and those kind of things, people want to talk about money. That's always in someone's mind. So let's talk about that a little bit.
First, I really want to talk about a wonderful visualization that's here and on my website, JackieLappin.com, that I think is very helpful. You know, one of the things is that, you know, we just talked about is if you're focusing on your financial struggles, you're going to create more financial struggles. So you really need to change your mindset to be in a much more positive, abundant frame of mind. And so I have a visualization in the book and also on my website that's a video, and it's called The Money Tree. And when you, in fact, find yourself, you know, focusing on struggle, do this instead. Imagine that you have a little tiny seed that goes down into your tummy and embeds itself. And from that seed grows a little trunk, and from that grows a bunch of little branches. And from the branches, oh my goodness, you see just a plethora of beautiful green leaves that are all $1,000 bills. Now, you take and you pluck one of those $1,000 bills and you spend it, and lo and behold, another one grows back. And then you go and you pluck another one, and gee, another one grows right back in its place. You have an ever-abundant money tree right within you. Nurture it, love it, and allow it to remind you that you are an ever-abundant money source, that it comes from source, and that it is always there for you and available to you, and you are always abundant. And if you need a little reminder that, in fact, this money tree is yours, you can then go to my website, hit the you can go to either JackieLappin.com or PracticalConsciousCreation.com. Hit the little drop-down bar, and you will be able to get your very own image of the money tree to put on your desk, on your vision board, on your mirror as a reminder that you are ever abundant.
Very interesting.
So that's a really fun. And then, you know, and then there's other tips here on how to begin talking to your money and how to let your money grow more money for you. There's just a lot of really useful tips here on how to transition from someone who's focusing on the negative to somebody who's focusing already on your abundance and being there and being wealthy and feeling that wealth coming to you. So, you know, I think but the money tree is a very good starting place.
Wonderful. Can you share with us some of the feedbacks you have received from your clients?
Oh, you know, people call these books life-changing, really dramatically life-changing, because once you understand how the energy works and you start taking responsibility for your life, then, in fact, you know, you really will see a dramatic change. And the key to it is, you know, using some of these, knowing how to do this. I mean, one of the knock on some of these, The Secret and some of these other books over the years on Law of Attraction and manifesting has been that they're very theoretical. But this stuff helps you get very concrete ideas on how to apply it into your life so that it becomes a way of life. And people really see the change. They are pulling themselves out of, you know, out of situations where they feel helpless, because once you know how to do this, you're no longer a victim.
Wonderful. What advice do you have for those who are still unsure of the power of manifesting success?
Try it. You'll like it. You know, I love to tell this little story because, you know, it really illustrates what happens. There's a couple things that are really fun. One is, you know, one day I have, with all these beautiful roses, I really wanted to share them with my community. And I wanted to put my house on a local garden tour, but I didn't know anybody on the garden club. And so I put this out to the universe, and about a month later, a lady's walking by my house. She snips the roses. She looks up at me. Gee, would you like to put your house on the Westlake Garden Tour? That kind of stuff happens to me all the time. this book came together so simply and so easily. I met, you know, many people beg for publishers. I met a woman who was a publicist for FinTorn, which is this wonderful international mind-body-spirit company. We introduced each other. I told her what I did. I mentioned I had a second book in the works. She said, gee, would you send a proposal? Then she said, would you meet with a publisher? I met with the publisher, and 2 weeks later, they sent me an email saying they were publishing me in the fall lineup. It was as simple as that. And you know, those things come together when you are living a high vibration life, when you are living in optimism, when you are living in faith that everything is going to turn out fine, all is well, and everything has a reason. And knowing that any experience that you have in your life that is not what you would consider optimal is what I would call a universal redirect. It basically redirects you into another direction, and the message there is not, woe is me, life is terrible, you know, I never get anywhere. The message is, okay, the universe is trying to tell me, I got another direction to go. I just need to figure out what that is, listen for guidance, and sort that out. So I know that that will come to me. And it's transformative. It's really amazing what happens when you figure this out.
Fantastic. Where can someone go to buy your book, get more information about you, and keep up with your latest happenings?
Well, they can go to JackieLapin.com, JackieLapin.com, and they can also find me on Facebook. I have a Facebook page for the book and for myself, and I encourage them to go. They can buy the book on my website, and they can buy it, obviously, at Amazon as well. So, and, you know, they can also check with their local bookstores, but, you know, those are more sporadic, and it's probably easier to find it online, so... But I would love it. You know, you walk into your bookstore, if you ask for it, certainly helps get the word out.
Fantastic. You're also the co-founder of Life Wisdom Network. Please tell us more about that.
Life Wisdom Network is something I'm very, very excited about, and we will launch in the next 2 months. It is the marketplace and directory of the consciousness movement, a virtual village that brings together authors, speakers, and coaches, retailers, service providers, healers, intuitives, anybody that has a mind, body, spirit business, and also conscious media like yourself, where people can find the resources they need, or if they're what we call a village member, can connect with their next customers, clients, and students worldwide. And this website, which really is very charming and wonderful and makes you feel very much at home, is designed to bring everybody together in one place so that we can all connect with each other and create a conscious lifestyle. You'll be able to find all the resources you want. So we're not ready to start taking folks yet, but what we encourage you to do is to go to the site. You can move around, check it out, and then put your name in where you see the little red letters, and you put your email there, and then we'll give you a notification with a little video tour when we're ready to go and invite you back so that you can come and participate, because this is going to be a game-changing website that's really going to connect everybody who has resources with those that need those resources.
By the way, we're coming close to the end of the show. Do you have a recipe for living you would like to share with our listeners this morning?
Well, I think the most important thing to do is to really, for me, what I love to do is really check in on myself. And when I find myself falling into low frequency state, I make sure that I give myself enough rest. What I call my sacred Sundays. I put myself in a place of changing to make sure that I am living a high frequency life, so that in fact I can welcome in the joy and the wonder and the blessings that life has for me. I encourage people to become practical conscious creators. I'd love that for all of your listeners, so that they can achieve the life of their dreams.
Wonderful. How has writing this book impacted you personally?
Well, it's connected me with many, many people around the world who really are finding this eye-opening and powerful information. And I love the connections that it brings to me. And I love for me, it's gratifying to hear from people say, oh, man, you know, this is how it's changed my life. And so that to me is really, really wonderful. And I love the fact that it's bringing this message, because I consider myself a messenger to a wider audience around the world.
Do you feel like you're just at the beginning stage?
Yes.
Getting the word out?
Yes, I do. I think that there will be a time when there is more time that I have that I can travel and bring this message to the world at large. Yes, I do.
Wonderful. Any final thoughts?
I would just encourage people to open themselves to try being practical conscious creators and experience the wonderful results of this. And I think that I'm hoping that my book will be a key to bringing in the things that they want in their lives in a joyful and wonderful and happy way.
What is the number one challenge in terms of people not being able to commit? Because you kind of covered everything in full circle here, because we talk about first you want all this, great, and then you're putting it all down, you're sending it out. The next thing that comes into mind, oh my God, I'm fearful. And that's a constant battle. And then the funny thing about it is that everything has its own time. And so you get into the situation of the staying power, the power of commitment, and so forth. So what is actually the number one challenge that you find people go through that actually causes them not to achieve what they want to achieve?
Falling out of commitment. You know, it's the kind of thing that people do at New Year's. They make an intention, you know, New Year's resolution,
yeah.
and then they fall away. The important thing is to stay straight and steady and continue to do this and recommit yourself over and over. When you fall off the wagon, don't go, oh, well, that's too bad, I've lost it now. Just get back on the wagon again and go forward to it. And I think that's really a vital point. Consistently come back and start over again. It's like meditation when they tell you when you start to drift off, well, just bring it back.
Very interesting. So basically what you're talking about is have patience.
Have patience? Oh, patience is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Patience, and in particular in this world when we're all, so attuned to having it instantly on our smartphones and our internet and et cetera, et cetera, patience is something that we must reaffirm in ourselves. Because if you are impatient, you in fact are choking off the energy, that urgency to get it done, to have it now. You have to be in the flow. This is all about being in the flow, allowing things to happen in their own time. It's not in your time. It's in divine time. So being in a place of, yes, allowing, permitting, being receptive, and being patient. Those are all very important messages on how to move forward.
Wonderful. What are the things that you find people... You know, we talk about how they lose the commitment to follow through all the way. Sometimes they get bogged down with the fact that, oh, I didn't see it now, and that's it, I'm leaving.
Yeah, you get discouraged.
Right, you get discouraged on the things that you can do. Are there any other tips that you have in terms of making people understand that why don't you start with small things in life that you are creating first, living conscious?
That you bring up a very good point. You know, many people try to bite off too much, and when that doesn't happen, they get discouraged. The better thing to do is to start taking baby steps, and as you see those baby steps materialize, then, in fact, you gain confidence and you can move forward to bigger things. Some people think, you know, I'm afraid to – I have to quit my job in order to really – jump into what I want, and that means no income, et cetera, et cetera. And there are half steps. You don't have to do everything fully one way or the other. I recommend to people like that, you know, start your side business and work it on the weekends and work it on the nights until it grows and it's really manifest what it is that you want. And then, you know, when it's starting to grow, then, in fact, that's the time to jump off the other merry-go-round and back, and so you can be firmly on yours. It's not all or nothing. You can start small and work up.
And the most important thing is to believe in yourself that you have the ability to do these things, because I think it starts out again every morning. You start out with a clean slate. You mentioned something very important in the morning when you talk about the rituals again, and sometimes I catch myself if I'm in a hurry and say, for example, I walk out the door and I forgot something. We have two choices right there. Can we just say, oh, shoot, and blah, 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 or I, in my situation, I've learned over the years to say, thank you for reminding me about the things that I forgot. And so I did not let that little simple thing to mess up my energy for the day.
Oh, absolutely. There's actually a wonderful article in the book called The Magic of Changing Your Perspective, and how you can look at any experience and change it to a much more positive framework so that, in fact, it keeps you in your high-frequency state. But yes, you know, it is all about how you look at things and how you choose to deal with whatever comes to you in your day, and choosing the high road as opposed to the low road.
Yeah, that magic is a blueprint for your success because it's contagious. You can't. I look at it this way: you cannot achieve a full-time reward with a part-time effort.
Right, right. Absolutely.
You have to go in full speed in terms of. Throughout your entire day, you're living in the positive energy. When you talked about love just now, attracting love, are you loving things, people? And we're just not talking about people alone, but things in general. Are you actually taking care of things? Do you spread unconditional love out there, so to speak?
Well, and I call that surfing the love vibration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by being with in that loving vibration, you are, in fact, sharing that wonderful wavelength with the universe, and nothing but good, wonderful things can come from that. So you definitely want to focus your attention on being a loving being and being swimming in the pool of love, surfing the love vibration.
And that goes to money as well, because no matter how much money you have or how little that is, because sometimes you find that people that have little money are more generous than the one that has more money.
Absolutely. And money is a form of energy. Money is a form of love. The more you have it, the more you give it, the more you share it, the more will come to you.
That's very true. Jackie, I really appreciate you being on the radio show, and thank you again for the great recipe for living you and mentioned to us just now. This is just wonderful material that we got today, and I know it'll set all of us up for a wonderful 2012. To all our listeners, thank you again for being with us. Please join me next Tuesday morning. My guest will be children's book author Marianne Salka. Marianne and I will be discussing about her latest book titled Good Table Manners Made Easy, a wonderful and effective way to teach children about dining with manners. For additional information about this show, future shows, and to receive a free recipe for living, please go to FromMyMamasKitchen.com. Thank you for listening and have a great week. Jackie, thank you again and have a great day.
Thank you, Johnny. It was a delight.
Thank you. Bye-bye.